slides will be available. They will be available on the slideshare.net/pistachio. Pistachio being the key to how you can get in touch with me, how you can find me, it being my email address at howtospot.com. Let's do a very quick sail through this first part, because this is just the why the heck is Pistachio up here and why does she let people call her a nut? Are you guys hearing that echo or is that just me?
That's next door.
Oh, no, but I'm hearing me come back too. It's in addition to next door. It's pretty trippy. All right, so this is where I am now. I did run a company called 140.com that sold to HubSpot about a year ago. I've had the amazing opportunity to not only write Twitter for Dummies, but hand it to Paul Rubin right after Pee Wee Herman sent his first tweet. This was me before Twitter. This was me before inbound marketing. I didn't have a clue what Web 2.0 meant. I was literally a homebound mom of two kids under two, very isolated, right here in Boston, down in Milton, Massachusetts. And I thought Twitter was really dumb, and I said so. But then things started to happen. Just a few short months later, this was April 2008, so not even a full year after that last shot. The guy who wrote Naked Conversations, pretty cool inbound marketing book, one of the original gangsters, was interviewing me for his blog, which blew my mind. And I had gotten this guy you might have heard of called Guy Kawasaki over the hump on thinking Twitter sucked, and he was running around telling the world that I had been helpful on that, which was incredibly humbling. This blew my mind, though, when people started direct messaging me, the private Twitter messages, to say, how do I know Seth Godin? I had a very easy answer, I don't. But it turned out I was in his book. I was asked to address the HBS students who I never could have been among, because I never would have gotten in, and explained that Twitter was a business tool to them in April 2009. I was terrified Rotten Tomatoes were gonna come my way. And just like Elle Woods, you know, they look at her, Legally Blonde, any fancier, they look at her and go, do you think she just woke up one morning and said, I think I'll go to Harvard Law School? I just woke up one morning and said, I think I'm gonna start a VC-funded tech company. And I was CEO of that up until we exited to HubSpot last week of the year. People have been incredibly kind and made a lot of hype about it. Never believe your own hype. But let's dissect that story and see what's in it that's going to be helpful for your business. I have no idea how that piece of metal got in that tree, but I have a few ideas about what went on with my whole weird situation. By the way, shout out to my neighbor Carolyn, who's here today. And now finding out, you know, what her quirky neighbor does for a living, you know. I was stuck down in that house in May 2007. I didn't even know Carolyn yet. And now I get to jump around stages like this. So I had this thesis in starting 140 that Twitter-powered software was going to completely change the world. And I just wanted to draw your attention for a second to the background image there. 140 still exists. When we shut it down, we open sourced the data. And a nice guy in North Carolina put it back up as SOCDIR. So if you've been wondering where to find Twitter apps, social directory, SOCDIR, still has all the stuff that 140 had. In fact, as we see, Twitter-powered software has already changed the world. And if you want to take my word for it, I really think we're only getting started. It must be the acoustics. I didn't even hear one of those, oh my God, I remember the 70s too laughs out there, but of course that's Karen Carpenter. I think Charlene articulated it extremely well, especially for those, you know, who increasingly there's fewer and fewer people who are completely skeptical that Twitter has any business value. But I still think this quote is worth contemplating because it is about opening our minds to it and what's possible. So I've distilled this down to 12 key things I want you to know, or if you already know them, I want you to think about. And I've tried to group those key things into all right, what's the big deal about Twitter? How can we be good at Twitter? How can we dig in with our businesses? And what might be coming down the pipeline, all right? So we're gonna fly through this. Do we have a countdown going on, Ben? Anybody? Anybody signaling time? All right, please do. Yeah, because I don't want to, I could talk about this for an hour and a half, and you know, I know we have about 12 more minutes, right? First of all, the what. What is the big deal? Why is Twitter so different and special? I've already kind of given away the punchline here. It's an EKG for attention. If you want to know how much attention the world is paying at any one given moment to anything, Twitter's going to tell you. Case being from the Olympics, the athlete with the highest TPM, that's tweets per minute, that's kind of a hype measure of things going on in Twitter, was himself the fastest man in the world. So what, he can run almost 28 miles per hour at the peak of his sprints. He can run 80,000 tweets per minute. That's crazy high. That's higher than any other Olympian, but it is not higher than any other moment during the Olympics. Anybody know what the highest TPM at the Olympics was and who hit it? It was the Spice Girls at the closing ceremony. So be famous and also controversial, right? Enough people hate and love that they just churned up. I think she hit like, they hit like 120,000 tweets per minute. So, you know, you could be hated or talented. I thought of Twitter for years as kind of a skin on the earth that's picking up, you know, what your skin does, right? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is it raining? What is going on? It's a sensing mechanism, but it's also a signaling mechanism. And when I talk about that signal, and this is stuff we're really just starting to understand and tap into, it's not a matter of going into Twitter and searching a hashtag and watching that fly by and knowing exactly what's going on. I think the really cool stuff, the Twitter power software change the world kind of stuff, starts to happen when we get the right tools and sensors listening. So this tool in New York called Dataminer serves the financial services industry. Anybody know how valuable real-time stock quotes are compared to like the 3-minute delayed stock quotes? There's a hugely drastic difference. Well, what they can do is by watching the fire hose of data that churns through Twitter every moment, they can tell, for example, 18 minutes early that Osama bin Laden has been assassinated finally. Now, if 3 minutes extra time on stock quotes is valuable, can you imagine how much advantage a financial services firm has being 18 minutes ahead of the world news cycle on a significant geopolitical event? Why do things spread like this? Why is there so much amazing potential here? I think the influencer model is subverted by Twitter. I really do. The guy who took this photo, who is anybody in this room who didn't see this photo before today? Anybody at all? Right? The guy who took this photo had 174 followers. He wasn't Robert Scoble. He didn't have a big influential Gary Vaynerchuk following. He had an incredible piece of content. Now, for your business, you're not necessarily going to get the functional equivalent of a first-hand photo of a plane in the Hudson for the type of person you're trying to attract. But why not aim for that? Why not get really, really, really deep down into who am I trying to attract and what kind of message are they dying to see? Are they fascinated by it? Do they need to make their lives more pleasant or their work easier? How can you take advantage of this principle of the medium to go after that? Because what we're seeing is where mass media and expensive advertising all hinged on one-to-many, the chaos and coolness caused by Twitter and other technologies leads us to an any-to-many, where we can't predict who that core person with the message is going to be. An example of this, also tied to the Osama bin Laden thing, the guy, this is not an astronomy photo. This is a diagram of how Keith Urban's tweet was the one that propagated to the entire network, saying what really had happened and why Obama would be coming on the air later to talk. You couldn't have mathematically predicted him. You couldn't have intellectually predicted him. He wasn't the first person with influential connections to surmise that it might be Osama that we'd gotten. Heck, journalists had already tweeted speculation about it. But for whatever reason, at that point in time, his message was just convincing enough that it's the one that exploded to the entire network. Classic any to many. Another any to many example, of course, is the guy who live tweeted the raid without knowing he was live tweeting the raid. I'm going to talk a minute about what I mean by 5 billion publishers. Before the printing press, very few people could produce books. We all know very well, or can Wikipedia, the story behind that and just how significantly that changed the economy. Teletext, types, just the telegraph, how much that changed the economy. It's little tiny bits of information, but the ability to get it out so frictionlessly and quickly. Twitter means that 5 billion people who own dumb phones today that can text could send a sum total of something like 4 or 5 text messages to get from totally isolated person in the middle of nowhere to person who has put a web page on the net. Every tweet has a unique resource locator, and that means if you can manage to get a tweet up there, you are now technically a publisher. 5 billion, and this has been the case for 5 years, 5 billion people could be publishers. And that means the person for whom something amazing happens can themselves rate it out to the world instead of trying to get to a producer at some TV channel and get their story told. This guy who happened to be live tweeting the raid, once people figured out what was going on, they were able to search his tweets from anywhere in the world, and they were able to find a completely obscure person and get firsthand accounts for their evening news reports, because he had in fact become a publisher. So this is, you know, my sort of backup for the 5 billion publishers claim. This is, of course, a couple of years old already, see July 2010. This number is going higher and higher and higher. People get very excited as the smartphones number gets big, because obviously that gives a much broader pipeline of data access in both directions to the world. But this simple idea that with just a few text messages you can put up a web page is why this balance of power is shifting, is why Twitter blows my mind so completely, and why I've been so obsessed over it for a couple of years. So let's look at some hows. Let's look at some things you can do with it. Number one question I get, number one question I hate. It's so not what it's all about. You don't want a following. You want engagement. You want people who really care about what you're doing and talk to you and promote your work and will answer any question you ask because they know you're always going to give them something that they value. In two words, here's all you have to do. Make yourself useful. Now, don't try and make yourself useful to the entire world. Make yourself useful to the people your business needs to reach. By the way, if you do want more followers, just tweet about Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber. You're all set. And hopefully that underscores the pointlessness of just pushing that raw number up. Trying to get more followers on Twitter, just more, raw more, is kind of like, well, I hope nobody in this room would ever buy an email list. But it's kind of like the difference between buying an email list of 1 million people and buying an email list of 6 million people. So what? It's still a pretty cruddy way to go about getting attention because it's not targeted. Not sure how to be useful? Well, consult social media guru Ben Franklin for a moment. This is the one slide in the deck that I do come right out and read to people. Write something worth reading or do something worth writing about. It's that remarkable content at the core. It's the message, the influencer kind of stuff. At HubSpot, we're on a tear now to just say, look, marketing industry, stop pissing people off. There's no reason in this day and age when you can personalize and customize and nurture leads and really tailor your efforts down to what someone actually needs right before they need your product to not be making marketing people absolutely love. Go home and look at all your marketing materials and make a list of the ones you could picture someone paying you for. You shouldn't produce marketing materials unless you could imagine someone wanting to pay you for them, that they're that useful to them and unselfish. Where influence in the past, in the one-to-many world, in the mass media world, was all about the biggest stage and the loudest soapbox, influence now is the degree to which you are giving out your attention, providing value to other people, getting other people involved and engaged because you care what they have to say? If you're not sure what to write about, Anne Hanley is. It's very simple. Start by writing about your customers. Now, you might be in an industry where you can't name names. That's fine. Use data. Use anonymized case studies. My friend Kathy Sierra does an amazing job of framing for software developers what they need to do. They don't need to kick ass as a software company. They need to make products that make the customers of that software kick ass. So the customer should absolutely be the hero of your stories that you tell in your inbound marketing. And that's good news because you already know pretty well how you help your customers. And if you don't already know that, that's what you need to get to know. The biggest shortcut to taking any content you're creating and making it more effective in your inbound marketing channels, turn it around and make it about your readers. It's not about you. All right, so quick A-B test. You guys are doing any A-B testing with your marketing? I know after that Mech Labs case study, you probably have some ideas too. Let's have a Twitter account over here and a Twitter account over here. They are both only tweeting blog posts. All right, we're gonna simplify this down to a little scientific experiment. This one is title, link, title, link, title, link for each blog post. You can already tell that's the one that's gonna lose, right? This one, provocative question about the reader that has to do with the topic of the same blog post, right? A-B test, keeping all things the same. Provocative question about the reader, and then a link. Best quote in the article with the best hook, and then a link. Surprising stat that's in the article, and then a link. See, I've taken it and I've made it all about the person reading it instead of making it all about me. Taming the Fox is probably my favorite part of Twitter. Any Sen Exupéry fans here? The Little Prince? So this is a book where a little boy falls from space and wanders around Earth and he knows absolutely nothing. So he has these charming conversations such as the one with the fox. Where the fox, you know, he runs up to the fox, I want to play with you, come on, let's go play. And the fox says, no, you cannot do that, I am not tame. And the prince says, well, what does it mean to tame? And I'll abbreviate this a little bit here, but the fox basically says, just come every day at the same time and be over there. Don't approach me, just be over there. And just do that until you're familiar to me, until I start to trust you. And then the fox goes on to explain, for me, I shall begin to get excited every day at 3:45, knowing you are coming at 4. And if one day you do not come, I will be sad and I will miss you. And you will become, to me, unlike all others in the world. And that is the marketing opportunity Twitter's giving you to get to know your prospects, to get to know your customers. Just simply be there. Don't hit them up for something. Put something out there that approaches them, but doesn't scare them off. Work to earn building up that relationship gradually by keeping being useful at a distance until they're ready to approach and you're ready to draw them closer in. I was able to do that literally with a Wall Street Journal journalist. I still haven't pulled in this card and gone and tried to get coverage from her, but I had this amazing opportunity where one day, this was someone I wanted to pitch from 140, she was the tech writer of the Wall Street Journal, and one day she, lo and behold, she tweets that she's installed Uber Twitter, and I know that at that moment in time, Uber Twitter has begun broadcasting her latitude and longitude to the world. So I have the chance to help her as our very first interaction and just say, hey, at Julia Angwin, I was literally in my kid's crib right down the street from you, Carolyn. My kid, you know, was takes 45 minutes to fall asleep. She was like 2. So forgive me, I was on my BlackBerry, you know, so I didn't go crazy. And I saw this tweet and I got a chance to reach out to this journalist and 3 years later, got a chance to get a huge blog post about it. Twitter's also special in that it helps you maintain loose ties. Now, Carolyn and I have gotten to know each other because we pass each other on the street. But let me tell you this, we don't stop and discuss Fermat's Last Theorem every time. We say trivial, casual, interactive things. That's how humans have always related to each other. So though it's very easy to take a pot shot at Twitter and say, oh, hey, it's just what you had for lunch, that is actually super important. And we know jobs, spouses, and opportunities come from our networks of loose ties. So think about using Twitter to cultivate that for your business. You want more than 2 words? I understand. Take this and just cycle through it over and over again. Have a good listening strategy. Actually learn something. Find some insights from what you're hearing. Genuinely care to do better and to serve people better. And of course, that last one's just a 1-word version of be useful. How are we doing on time? We're done? Great. All right. So we've already talked about the how do you get more followers question. I think the best way is to take amazingly good care of the followers you already have. I'm going to fly through the what's next section, and all these slides will be at share.net/pistachio. I want you to keep an open mind to Twitter. It really, really does matter. These are the numbers from almost a year ago now in terms of business performance of Twitter, whether or not customers are there, whether or not companies are acquiring customers right from their use of Twitter. I want you to keep an open mind to the humble hashtag. It has the ability to galvanize billions of people's attention, well, millions still, but someday it will be billions, in a moment, and it disappears in a moment too. So keep an open mind to the Humble hashtag. We're seeing a lot of use of them in advertising. I think we're just gonna see more and more. This is an example of how ESPN used it. Twitter has some serious spam vulnerabilities. My DM inbox is just horrible. No, nobody is sending weird photos of you on Facebook. Just ignore all that. If you want to test how you're doing, you can go to grader.com or you can use that little bit.ly link, IMS Pistachio. This is a totally free tool. This is how HubSpot drinks its own inbound marketing champagne. You can run this tool every day if you want. We're never going to charge you for it. It goes through 45 different aspects of your marketing, in particular a bunch about your Twitter, tells you how you're doing. The rest of these slides are just some other tools that are worth playing with. If you go look up the deck later, you'll see them. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope you have a great rest of the conference.
Okay, up next, our expert panel on location marketing, moderated by Tim Hayden, with Rich Brooks, and with Matt Peters. Please come up, gentlemen. How about a nice round of applause for them?
So skip down.